Greetings, pals.
Hello.
Here we are. In the room.
We're here together.
Welcome.
She's best friends.
Sorry.
All together.
As pals.
Welcome back to another episode of Throwing the Pal. My name is Frank.
My name is Marcus.
My name is Tom.
And today we're talking about Kill Bill Volume 1.
Oh, I've been waiting for this.
Written, directed by Quentin.
Quintanen. Quintanen.
Quintessentially a Tarantino film.
Yes.
Taranana Tito.
Yes.
Hey! So this is the podcast Throwing the Pal, for those who don't know. We talk about movies. Love it or hate it, we debate it. I don't know if you've heard that, but that's our catchphrase.
It's a nice little catchphrase.
I might put it on a button.
Yeah. And what will you do with that button?
Just one. You got a whole shirt and just the one
just
button.
Just a little button.
Marcus,
the
that's
one.
How you wear your shirts.
Yeah. Just the one button.
Who needs buttons?
You're love separated. It, hate it. You guys want to debate it?
Yeah.
My one button.
No, here's, don't here's take my off. Chest Please hair. Keep your shirt open.
I used to refer to my butthole as my little brown button. What were we talking about?
So, we'll cut that.
No, we won't.
We're talking about Kill Bill, but before we do, we rate films out of 11, which I think is our little, like, you know, our point of difference, what makes us great. And Tom, bless his cotton socks, always has a wonderful reason.
11 cotton socks. Go. Why?
I guess if Tarantino made feet, they'd have 11 toes. Like, I don't know, something there, right?
I mean, if you just committed to that one, it was actually half decent.
It's not too bad.
It was so bad.
Nah, it's more fun doing the, like, I don't know, something like this. What do you guys think? I don't know. Like, just really playing it off coy.
Tom, it's not fun. Let me tell you, it's not fun for anyone.
I'm having a great time.
I think, though, at this point that Frank's just not going to allow anything to pass or be passable.
I think the last one was okay. But for the faithful listeners, the one I did last week was so good. 5 minutes later, Frank asked me for it again. I was like,
that memorable.
So what's your 11? And it's like, you had a stroke, man? Like, we did the 11. Frank, you go ahead.
You're bad. Everything is bad. I hate this. And I'm not excited to talk about this movie. Shout your name if you like this movie.
Tom. Well, Marcus. That was
okay.
Frank.
Well, thank you. That's a good bit. I like it. But we should hear from Frank.
Frank doesn't like this movie.
For the listener, Frank has been very vocal to us, as pals, for his displeasure. What's the word you want to use here?
He just
detests Tarantino. I've never questioned it. What the entire time I've known Frank, I've just kind of gone, okay, well, you're wrong. Move on. But now I want to know. Now's the time. To explain to us and justify. Well,
I will. I will in due course.
Oh, good.
But of course, we need to rate these films with some numbers.
Well, what was your number?
2.5.
This is dang.
This is a bad film. This is a really bad. This was worse than I remember. I watched it again 2 nights ago.
Wow.
And I was hopeful. I was like, come on, maybe it's okay. You know?
Frank, is that lower than what you gave Cats?
Yep. I think I gave Cats like 3.
I can't think of a lower movie for Frank. 2.5 is low. I've barely given anything that low.
Yeah, and I'm usually the lover, but this is dumb.
I think I gave Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah, it's a beautiful movie.
Pretty low.
Maybe like a 4 or something.
No, I gave that like a 1 something. But
again,
that's a movie I hated.
Wow.
2.5.
Okay.
Sorry.
We will delve.
Oh, someone's
Tom,
taken aback.
Do you want
to? Yeah, like 10.6.
Wow. Wow, 10.6.
It's fucking Kill Bill. What are you going to do? Like, it's a really good movie.
Controversially.
If you give this
I'm going to give this a 10.5.
Oh. Hey! New favorite movie!
What?
Better than American Beauty.
Which is a higher score than
you can't
my
actually
favorite.
Think it's better than American Beauty. You can't think that. Change your ratings.
Nope.
Posthumously.
American Beauty is my favorite film of all time. I did give it a 10. This is a 10.5, especially after re-watching it. No. I'm not doing this to spite you.
But it's working.
I can't watch this film and not enjoy any moment in
it. What part do you enjoy? From woe to go, name something that's good in it.
The performances, the
bad.
Story, the music,
bad.
The colours.
The music is
the
so
violence,
repetitive, it makes
the
me
dialogue,
sick.
It's bad. All there.
Obnoxious. Tarantino is the most obnoxious filmmaker I've ever seen.
Please tell us more about that.
Why is she called the bride? Just give her a name, man. Oh, she was the bride when she almost got murdered.
Well, who you find cares? Out in part two.
It's also an homage to the Truffaut movie, The Bride That Wore Black, which is like a revenge story from the 60s that he kind of based this on, as well as Lady Snow Queen, I want to say, a Japanese film from the 70s.
That's so cool that Tarantino likes old Japanese films.
Okay, hold on.
I don't give a flying toot.
Oh, my God. Frank.
Francis. As a musical theatre kid who grew up in the church, you tell us what you think is cool.
Hillsong. Is that the right answer?
That was exactly
the right answer. Yeah. Correct. I apologize. That was unnecessary. I am really excited to hear, because I actually think this would be a boring episode if we all came in and were just like, yeah, it's Tarantino. Like, you know.
Yeah,
and
he's the worst filmmaker of all time. Yeah,
I
good.
Think one of the most predictable things someone can do is be a simp for Tarantino. And here I am being one.
He is a simp.
His movies are very good. I think he makes good movies. Just fucking sue me. Like.
Should we quickly just go, for those who don't know Tarantino, like, do you want to go through a few of his big films?
Arguably for our generation, which anyone who was born in like the 90s or late 80s, and then, you know, anyone even like 5 years either side of that, I don't think there's a director that people would be more familiar with. People who don't give a fuck about movies are like, oh yeah, well, I know Quentin Tarantino, right? You know, but do we want to... Reservoir Dogs, right, it's 92, Pulp Fiction's 94, 97's Jackie Brown, then we've got... Kill Bill.
You don't need to do everything. Just like name a couple.
Well, just
that's
these,
great. There
these
you go.
Ones here up to here are Kill Bill 2003 and Volume 2's 2004, right? So like this is a pretty stellar career, and then a guy who's continuing to get pretty good budgets, right? He's, you know, he got $90 million for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, a movie that made actually quite a bit of money, but probably behind the fact that it's got Leo and Brad Pitt and Margot Robbie in it, right? But he's, you know, he's an aesthete. He's a guy known for a very particular style. Hyper-stylized violence, very pop culture heavy sort of references. He's a guy who loves music and needle drops, very much inspired by Scorsese in that degree. And a dude who thinks that he has a lot to say about
it. He does think he has a lot to say. God, he thinks a lot
of himself. I don't disagree with that take that I think he has more insight into America than he actually does.
I think he thinks he's the most brilliant filmmaker of all time. I think
so
he,
it's an ego thing for you? Like...
I've never liked him, but then the more I read about him and learned about him, I was like, oh, he's first of all, he's gross. He's a pervert. He's real gross, especially the feet stuff, which
okay,
I'm
look,
sure we'll come into
if
it.
If I ran into this guy on the street.
you want to do some coke and be friends? Yeah, oh my God, yeah. He's
I don't think he'd be a chill hang. Like, I'm not like excited to hang out with Tarantino. Every podcast interview I've ever heard, he sounds difficult.
If he's like the Paulie Shore of filmmaking.
Oh my.
You know what I mean? No, but less talented than Paulie Shore is what you're saying. Yeah, I'm just clarifying. Okay. We've all seen Biodome. All right.
Amazing.
Has
film.
Kylie Minogue in it? I think
it does. Yeah, she's good. Quentin Tarantino is arrogant, disgusting, and so obnoxious. His dialogue, he thinks he's so brilliant, and he's like, puts way too much swearing in. And I know I make jokes about like language, don't swear on the pod, but. It's just gratuitous, boring. Oh my God, he dropped the F-bomb again. And
Before we get into the film, I do need to know more on this because it's really like, it's going to make or break this conversation, I think.
What Frank doesn't like. Yeah, I mean, I'm fascinated by this.
Is there a Tarantino film you like?
That's exactly what I was about to ask.
Yeah, Hollywood's all right.
Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
No, just this, and Inglourious Basterds.
So, okay, cool. But I'm trying to narrow this down. I want to narrow this down. So what about those two films that is obviously Tarantino?
There's a storyline.
I agree with that. Well, I agree with that in Inglourious Basterds. I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is one of the shaggier movies he's made. But I get what you mean, that Pulp Fiction kind of barely has a story. Like it is just a bunch of people...
It's short
just
stories
smashed together, yeah, and vignettes. But it's kind of like moment to moment. You're like, this is just kind of a bunch of people who happen to live in the same town, right? Like,
following here?
Yes, and that's the point of it. Obviously,
I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood has much better dialogue and much more enjoyable performances. It's a bit more like mature and this, I mean, Kill Bill feels very adolescent from him.
And as in the dialogue?
The dialogue and just the fact, I was watching it with my sister, shout out to Bryony, and she was like,
hi Bryony, thanks for listening.
Love this film, love the female empowerment. And I was like, I don't, because Tarantino's doing it for the wrong reasons. I feel like he was like, yeah, I got Emma Thurman and Lucy Liu in my film, yeah. You know what I mean? I just don't trust him. I feel
there's a women agree with some of this.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm kind of annoyed.
Yeah,
but
yeah, give him a 10.5. He's so good.
I still think this movie's incredible, yeah. Even if it's by accident.
Yeah.
But like, I don't disagree with you that I don't think Quentin Tarantino is like, you know, top tier feminist.
He's not for female empowerment. No,
I don't think he's like. I think he's also got weird ideas about race, and I think he's a guy coming up in the 90s who thought
incredibly racist.
Yes, I think he's a guy that came up with an idea of like, I've got my finger on the pulse of like how African American vernacular works. Right, you know, he's one of the first guys to start employing AAVE, like African American vernacular English, in his scripts. And
is AAVE a real thing?
Yes. And he's deploying like very, very, at the time in the 90s, like, you know, he's writing characters who either are black, like Samuel L. Jackson, and use the N-word, or white characters who do. The fact that he casts himself in Pulp Fiction as a character who, without any sort of consequence, deploys the N-word. You remember in...
It wasn't even scripted. Yes. It's just Tarantino on set.
Yeah, that's just Tarantino. Just talking. You can't get past the idea that Pulp Fiction, a masterpiece, a movie I love, is an instance of him going, well, I'm the director and I'm the writer, so I kind of get to do what I want to do, right? And it's like, yeah, you're kind of giving yourself the N-word pass because you're the guy who's running the ship, right? You know, like, and he, I think, has moved away from that to some degree, but he also made a black...
He made Django and Jane.
I was literally about to say, he made a blaxploitation film 12 years ago because he's like, well, I'm the guy who gets how to do this. And I think even in 12 short years, it's like, that would not be happening again. That's why Once Upon a Time in Hollywood happens, because he's like, what if I make a movie about how the 60s was the greatest time ever? And it's like, yeah, that's the most white boomerish thing ever. Go off. That's exactly the sort of movie you should be making.
Yeah, go off.
Yeah, exactly.
Go off, Quentin.
I would agree with you, Frank, to say that it's not empowering for women, Kill Bill. It on the surface, you can probably justify that. But no, I think at the end of the day, and you do need to watch Volume 1 and 2 to understand my reference here, but Bill always has and always will hold the power. Even if the bride gets her revenge and you know, everything sort of comes up, you know, thumbs up for her, but she's almost apologetic in a way in at the end of killing Bill and taking revenge on him. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's a tricky scene
that
I like, but it is in a, I'm never normally this guy, but it is in a different movie.
It is in a different movie. Yes. No, that's so fine. So in this film...
I know. That's so weird for me. You still like, got... Come on, guys. Let's stick to the one film.
Yeah. Last week, you're like, so, Jason Momoa is so good in Doom 1. Shut up.
He is.
In context of the first volume, you've still got Bill calling the shots and saying, Ellie Driver, I know you're standing over the bride right now and can kill her. Decided you won't leave. You know, he's pulling all the shots all the way through. You've got... The men are very much in control here. Yes, you've got Lucy Liu running the Yakuza now and things like that. And you have like this beautiful anime segment of...
Sorry. No.
Oh, cool.
Absolutely.
We can talk about it.
Not. Why? Okay. And you're like, it's homage to the films he loved. I don't give a toot. 7 minutes of that bullshit flashback of Lucy Liu's life. Who is this little animated girl? I don't know. I have no connection to that. And then you can flash to Lucy Liu. It looks nothing like Lucy
Liu. She's one of five on a list that we're waiting to see.
And you don't get any other anime flashbacks. Like,
that's true, you don't.
It's
you
so don't. Stupid.
You can't wait.
It's so
No, you
stupid.
Don't. He's right about that.
And the fact that it's like, but then it removes, you get back to Lucy Liu in the real life after 7 minutes of her stupid flashback.
It's definitely longer than 7 minutes. It's also one of the greater vignettes in modern cinema. I love it.
No, it's dumb.
Everything
I hate
about
it,
that
and
anime sequence is incredible.
The thing is,
nothing
Frank,
about
too,
it is good.
None of this is overly grounded.
Also, nothing about it is creative. It's also stuff we've seen all the time. But it takes away from the actual connection to the characters we have.
But these are very campy characters. This is like, you've got people flying through the airs clearly on wires. Like, he's... he's not leaning too much into a grounded universe or a world here.
I don't care it's about like, the grounded universe. I care if they're going to have any sort of story and like we want to kill this person because of this reason, or she became this amazing killer because her life was so fucked up.
Yeah.
Show us that for real.
What, as in show it without the anime section? You think the think the form detracts from the function of it?
Absolutely, the form does detract. But also, do that for the bride. Do that for Uma Thurman. Where's, I feel like her backstory is we see the where she gets murdered, or, you know, almost. But like, why do we get so much Lucy Liu backstory?
This is where it's difficult because Marcus is right. What he was saying earlier is the second movie does go more into that. I'm not going to defend a movie that is in its
Did he write them at once?
They were filmed back to back and they were intended to be one film. And Harvey Weinstein, a guy who I'm checking here is cool and normal. No, very fucked up, bad person. But he was running Miramax at the time and produced this film. And he went to him and just said, look, man, you're not making a four-hour movie. Simple as that. So you cut half of it or you make it into two movies. And Tarantino was like, I guess I'm making two movies. I guess it's Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2. All right. He intended it as one film. And I'm not going to pretend that if you watch one part of it and it doesn't add up, like, whoa, 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 wait till you see the sequel. Like, that's not how movies work. If it doesn't work by itself for you, that's totally fair and rational. I think that's a fair argument.
Yeah.
It does get more into it with The Bride in the second one. Marcus mentioned the word mystique earlier, and I kind of love the mystique of the first one. I love the fact that every time Uma Thurman says her name, they beep it out. Yeah. For no fucking reason. Doesn't matter. They reveal it in the second one like it's some grand reveal, and it doesn't matter.
The only reason they've
because Keith Carradine as Bill keeps referring to her as Keith Carradine or David Carradine? David Carradine refers to her as Kiddo constantly.
Yeah.
And then you find out her name is Beatrice Kiddo.
Yeah.
And so he's not calling her Kiddo as some sort of like affect. It actually is her name.
Yeah.
Which I think is like for a non-twist reveal.
Yeah.
You're explaining it like it's like funny or enjoyable, but it's just dumb and pointless.
I get it. Okay, you've given it 2.5.
Yeah.
I've got to assume there's 2.5 of enjoyability in here. What do you like about it?
The scene where she goes to Japan and gets her samurai sword made.
With Sonny Chiba?
Incredible.
A great scene. A fantastic scene where she sits down and is playing the ditzy American blonde.
Konnichiwa?
And then
speak great Japanese.
And then suddenly, you know, the guy who's the waiter as well.
And he's like, I would be the general right now. You for cooking the sushi.
I'm not bald. I shave my head by choice. Do you understand? Great scene.
That whole segment where she then gets her samurai sword made and that is the only bit of enjoyment I had. No, sorry. One other scene. It's post the disgusting, she's in a coma. The guy comes in to have sex with her.
Can I say it?
Yes, please.
You say it.
My name is Jeff.
And I'm here to fess.
Good. Avoided the swearing. Very nice.
Yeah.
Do you know who that is playing Buck?
It's Liev Schreiber. Right?
Obviously. No, the actor's name escapes me, but he plays the head of the neo-Nazis at the end of Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy who's...
I recognize his face genuinely. I just couldn't pick it.
The crazy thing in Kill Bill is he's like this short-haired nurse. You know, he's in the scrubs and in Breaking Bad, he's like... Looks like he's aged 30 years, has this kind of like ponytail, weird scruff. Michael Bowen, Frank's just pulled up. Yeah, he's fantastic in... Oh, yeah, he's in Jackie Brown as well. But yeah, he's fantastic in Breaking Bad as well. Just as kind of the most over-the-top possible villain you could get. Nazis, but like he's very good in that. But he is Buck, who's here to fuck. What's the scene that you liked?
When she knocks out the Adam Sandler's friend who comes to... And he's like,
when you say Adam Sandler's friend, as in he's actually in Adam Sandler movies?
Yeah, Jonathan Loughran.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't remember him from any. What's he in?
Yeah, he's in Waterboy, and he's like, yeah, man, that Waterboy, don't touch that. That guy doesn't really speak.
It's weird that he comes in saying that into the scene in Kill Bill. All right, you like the look of it? Oh, I can tell you it's that Waterboy. I haven't seen Waterboy.
What?
I've never seen it.
10 out of 10.
Well, we do 11.
I don't know why.
so you didn't like Wiggle Your Big Toe?
dumb. Hated it. God, who cares? Of course she's going to wiggle her toe. We've seen her walking. She puts on the Elvis sunnies after she kills him. Yep. Funny.
Pussy.
But then she takes them off immediately. They're not in the next scene. Dumb.
That's a good point, actually.
Dumb.
You know what? I'll take that criticism. I think it's weird that she takes them off straight away.
Because she would be in disguise to get out. That's why she puts them on in the first place, right?
Oh, yeah. It's like putting on a moustache. Like, put on the Elvis sunnies and she can just walk out.
Here was my thing, watching it the other day for the first time in years, a movie I watched 1,000 times as a teenager in my early 20s. Mm. Her putting on the scrubs and getting in the wheelchair, I know that there's equal opportunity employment, but still, I think someone would have questions. I think if someone saw, like, this woman that they didn't recognize wheeling out of the hospital, even if she's in scrubs, they'd be like, excuse me, miss?
No.
Also, a nurse's scrubs.
Yeah, because she's in scrubs.
Yeah.
She's not in a gown. She's in scrubs.
Yes, but even so, I think they just kind of be like...
More so.
Right, yes.
Yeah,
it's kind of... Just listen. Yeah, my bad.
Sorry, also, let's go back to the anime flashback when they light the scotch on fire.
Okay, yeah. I'm with you.
You mean when the henchman...
So when he shoots the bottle...
And he kicks the cigar like the most unnecessary flourish of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of picking it up
unnecessary
and throwing
backflip.
It. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
What scotch is that?
it's very peaty.
No. Most scotch...
I don't care, Frank.
It has to be at least 100 proof to catch on fire.
Oh, my God.
No, so this is why I groaned. I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. Fucking what
Look,
scotch
at
is
one
it?
Point, you've got Ellie Driver walking through the hospital with a fucking nurse's eye patch on. Like,
if
she
Uma
looks
can get
like
out
she's in a costume.
Whistling the theme to I'm going to kill someone.
Yeah.
Like, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Like,
you've got Uma Thurman fighting the crazy 88 in one of the greatest action sequences of that time.
So can I just quickly...
And there's sound effects like whoosh and whoopah and whoosh. Like
whoopah.
Honestly, the dumbest sound effects ever and it's so great.
No, it's so bad. The action is so bad. The fight choreography is so lazy and Uma Thurman is uncoordinated and awful to watch.
I will agree that Uma Thurman looks awkward and looks uncomfortable.
Off balance, almost
due
entirely.
To her... it'd be like watching Elizabeth Debicki do a samurai scene. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
she's too lanky.
Unless they choreograph it to advantage to her height, she looks hunched over and a bit awkward. It doesn't... Like, that. I've always had a bit of an issue with that, but I don't
Such
let it ruin
issue.
It for me, man. It, I just... It's
she's
so
meant
cool.
to be the best assassin of all time. And better than 100 Yakuza?
Oh, I'm sorry. Have you killed 100 Yakuza? I didn't think so.
There's actually less than 88.
Yeah, there is.
They just thought it was cool.
It was a great name. Yeah, just sounded good.
David Carradine, in the next movie, says that. How good's David Carradine? Even just in voice acting.
Just so
just the close-up of the sword while he's talking to Elle on the phone, and he says to her, like, he's telling her off, and like you say, he does have all the control. There's a bit of a Tarantino... like insert there, like he's putting himself into the movie and going like, yeah, I'm the guy who calls the shots. At the end of the day, I'm in charge of everyone. Yep. But I do love he goes from that whole spiel about what they won't do. You know, they'll shoot her in the head, her heart keeps going, and if she wakes up, they're going to do a whole lot of worse things to her. What they won't do is sneak into her room like dirty rats and kill her. Mm. And Elle says, I guess. He says, do you really have to guess? No, I don't. And then he says, I love you very much. And it's just like, fucking creep.
And the shot,
so weird.
Which
I love
is another, it's another Tarantino thing where he loves to keep the villain or the big bad out of shot. Like you don't see their face for such a long time. And so you just see this like profile shot where he's like stroking the top of his samurai sword in a masturbatory way.
Yeah.
What a surprise from Tarantino.
You know,
I mean, you say that.
It's the same
I
as Ving Rhames in Pulp Fiction. You only see the back of his
head.
Yes,
with the Band-Aid.
Time. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
such a fucking choice, right? The Band-Aid
language,
on the back of his
come
head.
Come on.
I'm sorry, Frank. But I don't disagree with you, Frank, and I'm not going to claim that just because someone is self-aware it makes it clever. But I don't think Tarantino's like, yeah, play with this sword for no reason. I don't know. Just do it. He's like, yeah, play with
Jack
it like
it
it's your dick.
Quicker.
Like, that's what this is. Like, you're a man who is a megalomaniac and thinks that he can control everything and play with himself, right? You're me. This is me directing my actresses, you know?
Yeah.
That doesn't make it cool. It reminds me a little bit of Hitchcock, which is in the sense that when we talk about like...
Wait,
the,
What?
Let me get into
Hitchcock, Will Smith, superhero Hitchcock?
Uma Thurman.
Obviously.
No, yeah. Wait.
No, Charlize Theron.
Oh, I'm
and also Hancock.
I'm thinking, I'm thinking of my super ex-girlfriend with Luke Wilson.
No, go on, Hitchcock, go.
Hitchcock, the way that he...
It's Alfie.
Anthony Hitchcock.
Anthony, are you being for real now?
Totally for real. I love the crows.
So Tony Hitchcock.
Ooh, Tony.
Mate, Tony.
Tony.
Right, Alfie.
Alfie Hitchcock. Just the way that he would treat his, you know, the blondes, like whether it was Grace Kelly or Tippi Hedren or whoever across his movies, was he would mold them and use them in a very specific way where it became very clear that he was this weird voyeuristic, like, I'm a guy who can't actually access these women. I can't actually, like, be with them, but I can make them do things, right? I can put them in situations and I can mold them to my preference and I can be this creepy sort of dude with them. And yeah, like, the way you're looking at me, Frank, is the absolute accurate way to respond to that. That's gross and weird. It's also resulted in some very interesting cinema, much of which is about voyeurism, especially movies like Rear Window, but then a movie like Vertigo, which is all about Jimmy Stewart taking a woman and trying to mold her into the perfect version of what he wants in an obsessive, calculating
way.
My
Fair Lady, yeah, absolutely.
100%.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I'm here all night,
I was
guys.
Gonna try. I was gonna night. Try and do Jimmy Stewart doing The Rain in Spain,
don't.
But I'm like, there's too much there that I can't even. My brain just short circuited.
Nah, try it.
You want the rain in Spain? Falls mainly on the plane.
You were molded by the rain in Spain.
I was born with
it. The rain
by the time
Spain.
I saw it, it was blinding.
Okay.
Anyway, the way that Hitchcock would you know sort of use his sort of female protagonists or female like love interests in his movies.
Use is the right word.
I mean, really, truly. And Tarantino obviously was doing something similar with that. And he thought of Uma as his muse. In fact, they came up with this story together. Like when you look at the story credit, it's by Q and U. You know, they came.
Again, just say Quentin.
Questions
and Uma,
and answers.
Funniest thing you've ever said.
That was wonderful.
Very good.
Make that a soundbite.
Yes. Yes. They came up with that together.
Sorry.
Questions
and answers.
Answer.
Oh, amazing.
Very good. Very good.
But again, yeah. Obnoxious. Sorry.
A bit obnoxious in the way that he's like. It's like carving in a love heart into a tree, like Q and U, you know, like he thinks it's cute and it's kind of weird. Yep. Obviously, they weren't friends for a long time after this because she almost died during one of the stunts that they did during the filming and they had a massive falling out from Kill Bill 2. So I'll say very briefly, but during one of the scenes where she's driving to see Bill and the camera's on the car behind, she was told like, hey, you're going to drive pretty fast on this road and there's a stunt chair and it should be fine and all this. Oh, and she was like, I don't know, this seems like a pretty weird road and I'm a little worried about it. And he's like, no, it's fine. And they finally released the footage from it back in 2018, 2019. She fucking fangs out and hits a tree. Concussion, shatters one of her knees.
Oh, shit.
And fully for years is like, I never forgave Quentin for that because I told him I don't want to do this scene. And he said, no, you should do it. You should do it. And he... You know,
he said you should do it. Is that what he said? You reckon he was like, "Nah, you'd be fine."
I reckon it was like you're doing it. Like I think he was very insistent, and he, to whatever credit you can give, came out after the footage. Like he talked with her about it, released the footage, and was like, "I didn't protect her, and that's the worst choice I've ever made." You know, Vivica A. Fox, who plays Vernita Green in this, who's the first person you see Uma go up against in that opening scene, a scene I'm sure you don't like very much, Frank, and we'll talk about it. She recalls in her memoir how she had a shouting match with Tarantino on like when they were doing the boot camp because all of them were training really hard. Like they were doing proper like martial arts training for months in the lead up. And she was just like, look, I think Tarantino's a very talented guy. He's an obnoxious piece of shit who is very demanding and we really had to kind of like have it out one day and I had to be like, dude, like stop fucking yelling at us all the time and tell us that we're actually... Give us some positive affirmation. And Uma apparently took Vivica aside and was like, he's like this. He's an egomaniac. You've got to come at him intelligently. He'll have a conversation and he'll know when it's what he's doing is wrong, but if you try to be bigger than him, he'll fight back because he's a man. And that's just what it's got. And it's kind of interesting to think of the women on the set kind of almost treating him like Bill, going like, this is how you got to work him. this is how you got to get the best out
just
of it.
Just so you know, Frank, because the looks you're giving around this entire podcast is scathing.
Yeah.
I don't love Tarantino.
The guy?
I do not like the guy.
Fucking weird dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Not, like, not a fan.
He
love his
obviously,
movies.
For the weird listeners guy. That don't know, he was a video store guy. That's what he looks like. That's what he sounds like. And honestly, that's probably where he's going to die.
And I think he's a guy who managed to leverage a very specific interest and a very specific obsessive, because he's like, you know, again, the things, I'll credit the guy, obviously, like he's a brilliant visualist and a great storyteller, and he has like an encyclopedic knowledge of cinema. That's not cool. You know, none of us are cool right now. But like
at high school, he was honestly the guy no one wanted to be friends
no
with.
No doubt. And he's managed to leverage that into a position of power. And rather than make that into something where it's like, feel the mirth of it and go, oh my God, like I can't believe this thing that really kind of felt niche, especially in the 90s and coming up with independent cinema at the same time as like Soderbergh and Kevin Smith and all these other guys and trying to make that like, wow, what a blessing I've been given. He's like, it's my fucking time now. Like the meek have inherited the earth and now I'm in charge. And I think that's the attitude he carries. He carries that chip of, I didn't get the time of day from these people when I was younger and now they fucking have to beg at my feet. And I, no. This is what the
just language, just relax,
Tom.
Okay,
sorry. But this is what I'm saying. This is his attitude.
I know. And I it translates to me through the film and it makes me feel uncomfortable. I think he's a sicko.
That's tricky.
And I don't like it.
Because I think there is a streak of that in his movies that I think enhances them, but also if you really are just like have a, you know, allergic reaction to the guy, I get it. I do 100% get it.
I like some of the things he's done when they're a bit more interesting and a bit more story and a bit less just obnoxious. And I don't mind violence. I don't mind swearing as much as you might think that's a joke.
Yeah, righto.
In film, not in this room. But I was like, this whole script and story is, it feels like a waste of time. It feels like him just jacking off and doing what he wants to see with no purpose, no direction, no idea. That's what it feels like.
Okay.
So we mentioned Vivica.
Aggressive take.
Sorry, Vivica A. Fox, are you going
to
talk about her?
No, I mentioned it and you had a look like you wanted to talk about that scene.
Why did she okay.
He's going for the logical take on this.
No.
Yeah.
It's just dumb filmmaking. So she gets stabbed through the chest, right?
Yeah.
And the first, it literally is like knife through the chest. And her face looks like a prosthetic. She looks so dead and the knife has just hit her. Like just shit like that. You go, language. Like you go.
I mean.
What do you mean you mean? We just.
It's a big fucking knife.
Anyone
it's
got
just,
a knife?
It's just. Like,
you know you don't go as soon as you get stabbed. We know that.
Do we know that?
How many times?
I mean, people are unconscious after falling off a skateboard. Like,
she doesn't look unconscious.
You don't know how your body's going to react when a gigantic knife goes through your sternum.
This feels
like. Is it meant to be funny? Is it meant to, like.
I think it's just so sudden. It's just bang. Like. I mean, she's a master assassin, I think, is what we're leaning into here.
Yeah,
like,
that's great. I get that. Good, nice throw, Uma. But like, who's the girl who gets her arm cut off? Sophie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you about to talk about the blood?
No, the blood's fine. Fine. Great. I was like, cool.
The blood is.
But also, the blood is inconsistent. Lucy Liu had no blood come out of her skull. When that gets chopped in half,
yes. Well, that's because she's not a henchman or an MP. Like, she's a main boss.
Main boss.
So it needs
right,
to be a little bit more dignified.
She had a second health bar coming up.
Exactly. Thank you, Marcus.
No, she
We've
didn't.
Been playing through the From Software games. We fucking know there's a second level.
Also, like, just things like, and then Uma Thurman in the snow fight gets cut in the back, lays on the snow, no blood. Like, just little things you go, come on. Come on.
She's just.
Is it meant to be a comedy? What's happening?
It's cold.
It's all a joke. It's.
I think the blood just froze real quick.
No.
I think this is kind of a comedy, by the way, to answer your question. Yes.
I think it is too.
I think this movie's very funny.
Otherwise, the sound effects and the bamboo pole hitting the bald guy on the head and him going flying through a. What are those screens?
Yeah.
What are they called?
It's a screen. Like, yeah, screen.
There's so
screen.
Much comedy in this. Like. You've got to try and have fun with it.
I tried. I promise you, I tried.
I don't contest any of this. I'm fascinated that Frank doesn't like this, and I think it's better that you don't like it because I like interrogating the things we do like about it.
What about, again, the last fight scene, Uma Thurman and Lucy Liu in the snow in Japan, Spanish music?
Kind of great.
What? No.
Can I tell you something that's going to make you, like, outraged? I'm talking, like, infuriated.
Go on.
That scene makes me cry.
Cut.
What do you mean?
There's some sense of gratification.
Gratification. It's the stupidest scene ever, and they're waiting. They're trying to build up all this suspense, and they do some shocking dialogue.
And it's because they've given you this beautiful background to Lucy Liu, right?
It's so wonderfully done, her backstory. And you know what? The aesthetic they choose for her backstory perfectly matches the form of it.
Why? You're just trying to mess with me.
There's this animated sense to it that I think is really fantastic.
Also, Lucy Liu is bad at fighting as well. Like, they both...
Lucy Liu is Oscar-worthy in this movie. She's so good.
You can't... Marcus? You cannot mean that.
Lucy Liu's monologue when she cuts the guy's head off at the chairman meeting.
I think it's pretty great.
It's not like a fucking... that's an Oscar. I don't know if I give her the Oscar.
I know you're baiting Frank with that comment.
Tiny bit. Yeah, yeah. I kind of also mean... I mean, I truly... It's not absurd that when people look back on this movie, they go, Uma Thurman was snubbed for an Oscar nomination. Like, people really did think she was going to get a nomination.
No.
She got the Golden Globe nom. She got the BAFTA nom. Okay. She got a lot of noms. And everyone was like...
I wouldn't have said that, but...
No, she's terrible in this.
That's also not right. Ridiculous take.
She's terrible in this.
Can I tell you why I cry in that scene?
Go, please.
Go on. All right, well...
It's the wood that goes...
That's it. I'm just like... It's so rhythmic.
It's a nice fountain. Beautiful, it's a nice fountain.
It's
nice.
Because the movie is about people who... Especially as it's been established by Vernita Green at the beginning, which is technically like a flash forward, right? Because we know that she fights Oren first. But anyway, in that scene where after Vivica A. Fox and Uma Thurman are fighting, Vivica A. Fox's daughter comes home, Nikita, and then they just have to have coffee together. Great scene. Really amazing that they just kind of go like, you want some coffee? And they have to just talk in the kitchen and it's tense, but they have to kind of be civil. And she doesn't really apologize. She just goes, I know I fucked you over and I fucked you over bad. I wish I hadn't, but I did. But now I beseech you on behalf of my daughter. And Uma Thurman's like, I mean, I was never going to forgive you anyway, but what a shitty way of apologizing for what you did.
Bitch.
Right? Yeah, you can stop right there. But Oren knows, she's realistic enough to know that an apology's never going to cut it. It doesn't matter what she says.
Of course.
But they fight in that back sort of tranquil garden and Oren cuts Uma Thurman. And she says to a silly white American girl, silly Caucasian girl likes to play with samurai swords. You may not be a samurai, but you can at least die like one. And then they fight again, and Uma manages to cut Oren. And Oren says to her, in Japanese, for ridiculing you earlier, I apologize. And Uma says, accepted. And it's the thing she can say sorry for in that moment. She can't apologize for the rest of it, but that's the moment that she can ask for some forgiveness and show some conciliation. Breaks me. I think it's a beautiful moment. I think it's really, really well done. And it actually actively affects me.
For context, I'm laughing at Frank, laughing at Tom.
No. It's funny that this is how my emotions work. I fully accept it.
An idiot. What do you mean that's what makes you cry?
That's so beautiful.
It is so dumb. Who cares?
I do. I think
nothing about this film lands at all. It's so surface level and...
Should we talk about Go-Go?
Go-Go, amazing.
How fucking great is
Go-Go? I know too many women like her. Amazing.
Let's not talk about all your exes. Yeah.
Strangely, she's my type.
And if you're one of Marcus's exes, we're not talking about you. Yep. We're talking about the others.
Yes.
So don't worry.
All the others. All one of them.
Go-Go is played by one of the... You remember Battle Royale?
Yes, I do.
She's the girl who runs
the job. Original and the best version of the Hunger Games.
Yes, that's true. Battle Royale with cheese, as they say, is the joke. Or like the Hunger Games version is Battle Royale with cheese. But she's the girl who's the runner in Battle Royale. And she's so good in, I know we talked about this a week or so ago, but really does that whole Fade Rotha thing where she's barely in it, but she has that one scene where she stabs the guy because she's like, you want to fuck me? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, guess again, stabs him right in the dick.
Yeah.
And then just has that the scariest weapon ever. Because it's not only scary for Uma Thurman, but you're like, imagine being Go-Go using that. Like, willing to...
The amount of skill.
Use this barbed fucking disco ball that she wraps around her neck and, like, uses in this weird dance effect. I mean, it's incredible.
It's so impractical.
Of course, you may have something
of
there. A gun would probably be better. I think if Go-Go pulled out a pistol at that moment, Uma Thurman would be like, "Oh well, fuck."
It's like that scene in
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
What are the rules here?
That's so funny.
It's which happens in Kill Bill 2, right? Where she's the one moment in that movie. I know. Sorry, I'm breaking my own rule that I said earlier. But when she's fighting everyone else with a sword and she runs in to kill Michael Madsen and he's like, fuck that, and just shoots her in the chest with a shotgun. He's like, right. I have a gun. Like, and you're like, oh shit, he's got a gun. Good movie.
Touche.
That's it. And she's just sitting there like, oh, I can't believe I didn't consider that he might have had a
shot you in the tits.
A firearm. Yeah, with like bucks. Oh God.
Yeah, yeah.
God, I'm going home to watch that. That's such a good movie. Frank.
Quickly, just the pluck of the eyeball and then it goes to black and white.
Oh,
amazing.
Dumb.
Honestly.
Pointless. Why?
The almost like
because
contemporary dance sequence. We're using silhouettes at one point behind the screens.
Bad
amazing.
Bad dancing, bad fight choreography. Oh, God,
the
it's
music,
it's so
the band that's playing.
Yeah. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. Great.
Best bit of the movie.
Tick.
That. Okay, so we got Frank back.
Hey.
The music's good, right?
No, 4.5. The music is shocking. That song is awful, but at least the band are playing the right thing.
Oh, that's true. That's actually
because they're
a real band.
Yes, I jeez, did notice that when it like showed them.
Yeah, because you know what music is, idiot. Come on,
he's so mad.
Where I'm are you?
Also, so many feet. I know we know that Tarantino has a foot thing.
Yeah. I tell you what, when she's doing Wiggle My Big Toe in the truck. I guarantee he's
off. What was
off,
he, what
off
was
the
he
side
doing
the camera,
in the editing
playing
screen?
Like, with his samurai
he's
sword?
Going, wiggle your big toe. Yeah.
I think obviously as well with like Once Upon a Time, he obviously is playing it up. Like he knows that people talk about his foot fetish. I'm not saying he doesn't have one, but I think
by playing it up, he's just feeding the fetish.
He gets to keep doing it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I know you guys think I'm this sicko.
Oh, look, I'm licking it now.
Oh, guess I can do anything with this foot. It's like, no one said anything, Quentin. No, Margaret Qualley in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood putting the dirtiest hippie feet in the world up on Brad Pitt's dash. And you're just like, oh, Quentin, do you like this? And his camera's like, I love this.
Yeah, because that's it. Because Uma Thurman's feet are at least like clean in this scene. But like throughout the years, the feet have gotten worse.
Can I say?
Weird feet. Yeah, she's got horrible
feet. Uma Thurman has... I don't want to be rude.
I mean, you're halfway there.
Marcus, you have strange feet.
Oh, I've got bad feet.
I don't think hers are as bad.
Okay.
No, oh, I don't, well. I know you said I was halfway there.
That was a turn of events.
You have toes that since I was a child,
oh,
I was like,
I could hang upside down like a bat.
To Marcus. Like,
I had a bad mother who put me in shoes that were far too small during a growth spurt.
Yeah. Wait, so your toes are big?
No, they're kind of crooked.
Oh,
I mean, okay, so you heard it here. This is on episode whatever of this pod.
53, something like that.
Photos to follow?
Yeah. You have...
No, we're not putting photos of feet on our socials.
You have some strange toes, but it is in our family. Like, my toes aren't normal.
Stop. Yeah. We digress.
Yeah.
Okay, what are your feet like, Frank? Fuck. Go on.
You really messed that up. No, I got nothing else to say. I had a horrible time. I think this is a dumb film, and... nothing about it that everyone's like, oh, fun fights and good costumes. Looks bad. Fights are bad. Slow, sloppy, no tension. Don't care.
Okay. Well,
that's my summation.
I'm going to assume we could do it again someday soon, like well in the future, but we don't want to put you through this again. I mean, this has been fun. Maybe, but like a director that like Tarantino that you really don't like. Mm. So will you allow Marcus and I, and obviously be interested to hear what you have to say.
Finish
here,
your point.
That we could get into, like Tarantino. Like, what's your thing on Tarantino? What's your favorite movie, Marcus?
Oh, me?
Yes. Where do you think this fits in the pantheon? He's a guy that the best thing about
Tom,
him, regardless
of how much.
You just
asked the question.
Is it okay if I finish this one thing, Frank? Just this one time. Just this one thing.
Let him speak for
Thank
once.
God. Wow. Jesus Christ. Thank you, Marcus. The thing about Tarantino, as much as it's easy to be like, yeah, everyone loves him, fuckboy cinema, all that, it is that he's got 9 movies. You know, he's been doing it for 30.
And an episode of ER.
The big elusive 10. Really?
Yeah.
What was that, sorry?
He directed an episode of ER.
He did. That's true. Yeah, he directed an episode of ER. He also directed like a short film in a collection that he did with Rodriguez.
Death Proof.
No. Like Death Proof and Planet Terror. But no, there's like the Four films. Rooms or something, and it's all like
Four
anthology
rooms director segment.
Yeah, it's an anthology that takes place in a hotel. He kind of disowns that. He also sort of doesn't count Death Proof, which I mean, like
it doesn't count as one of his 10.
My thing is like, you know, you made it, man. It's a feature film. Like, also, again,
The listener, Tarantino, I think there's this big thing around him doing his 10 films and he's out.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that was
that
like...
won't happen.
I think he will. I think if there's any director who is such an egomaniac, who's so obsessed with his legacy, that if he makes the 10th one and it lands, he'll be like, yep, that's me done.
Given,
I think it's Tarantino.
I think The Hateful Eight was built as a stage play. I think it was just the wrong format for a film. I'd love to see that on stage. I think that'd be very interesting and good character
good
piece.
Call.
My least favorite is Jackie Brown. Just never really got behind Jackie Brown. I've seen it quite a few times now. I own it, but I don't love it. Mm-hmm. My favorite Tarantino is Reservoir Dogs.
That's quite a call.
Mm.
I love Reservoir Dogs.
I think it's my favorite of all these films.
I don't know if you know this, and this might surprise you, but Jackie Brown has become his reclaimed classic. That now the like film Twitter and online film people are like, well, we all agree Jackie Brown's his best film. I really like Jackie Brown. Still not my favorite of his movies. Mm. I really like it. I think it's a very fucking good movie, and it's a lot of fun. I guess
you're gonna say Pulp Fiction, right?
I think my favorite Tarantino movie is The Hateful Eight.
Oh, what?
I know. And I, like, as I say that, I'm like, that tastes wrong, but it's true. Like, I'm really surprised by that. But if I think about the one of his that I watched the most and every time was just like, God, there is something about this film that I'm really transfixed by. And that if I right now went home and it's late and I've got work early tomorrow and someone was like, we're watching a Tarantino film, which one are you going to pick? I'd be like, probably his longest one that takes place in a fucking cabin. Like, sure. I think that movie is transcendently good. I'm really into The Hateful Eight. But I love the Kill Bill movies, right? They were a great turning point for him.
What's your favorite, Frank?
Yeah, Frank, you've said basically...
He's really... That ER episode. Really good.
Great. Well, there's an interesting point that you made about what you like about Kill Bill, which I think is really interesting because this movie is a turning point for him, is you love the Sonny Chiba scene with him and Uma Thurman when she comes to meet Hattori Hanzo.
Yeah.
And that is one of the few, not one of the few, but it is the, maybe it is the only two-hander in the movie I can think of. Well, like, what's
a three-hander?
That's true with the bald guy. But, like, what other scene in Kill Bill is like Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, or Jackie Brown, which are movies that don't have very much action and are people just talking? Like,
I would say that's what he's known. Like, obviously, the gratuitous action, but also, like, the witty, air quotes, witty dialogue.
But that's it. You say you don't like that, and yet that's the scene with the most uninterrupted dialogue. You said you fucking think he's, like, an arrogant shit. Sorry, I shouldn't put words in your mouth, but you think that, like, he thinks he's an incredible writer.
He does think he's an incredible writer.
But sometimes he is.
Sometimes.
Yes. Okay. I think that's interesting because...
And sometimes you're wrong, Frank.
Not on this occasion.
There's a lot of sometimes being thrown around today.
But also, Kill Bill has that one scene of good dialogue.
Kill Bill is the nexus between him as an action director and him as a like dialogue conversationalist. And every movie of his after this kind of marries the two. Whether it's Death Proof, which obviously is him going like, what if I do this weird grindhouse, like, you know, stunt driver movie. Then there's Inglourious Basterds. What if I do this kind of spaghetti Western World War II epic with so much violence and action, but still a lot of scenes with just dialogue?
And also, I would say that's fun dialogue.
That movie is probably my second favorite.
I love
Inglourious Basterds. So
I think
much.
Inglourious has some of the best dialogue.
It's definitely the most like quotable,
films.
Memeable. Ask me the most detailed answer. I'll go
even
there.
If
not the tension building that he presents in that film,
yes,
is very good.
Even if Hateful Eight's my favorite, I think my favorite scenes are in Inglourious Basterds.
Michael Fassbender when he does the three. Oh,
the scene in the basement probably is my favorite Tarantino scene of all time. I think that scene is phenomenal. It's just a short play. It's just a 40-minute short play that is.
Man, I'm racking my brain to see if I can find a better scene. But like, to be honest,
you probably can't.
No,
you probably
can't. maybe the segment Bruce Willis's segment in Pulp Fiction's up there as well. That's obviously incredible. Mm. Love that.
Wait,
do you like
which the whole segment,
the entire segment, everything to do from That's the second a good from the second film. Christopher Walken starts talking about putting a watch up his ass to Bruce Willis saying Zed's dead, baby, Zed's dead, and driving away. It's like right, well, that was perfect. What can you do with that? Obviously,
I do like the opening scene of Inglourious.
Love the opening. Christoph Waltz, incredible performance.
Yeah.
What a weird thing for him to have won two Oscars.
I agree.
I love rumors. Him winning...
Wait for the creme.
Attend to the creme. Him winning an Oscar for Inglourious Basterds and then Django. Really bizarre.
Yeah.
Because I think Inglourious Basterds is a very, very well-deserved Oscar. And then Django's almost like they're like, oh, good, you're not a Nazi. So they gave him an award for that one as well. Really weird. Really weird.
What's the feeling in the room on Django? Because I
really like Django.
Oh, so do I. Okay.
I don't dislike any of his movies. I'm a basic bitch. I love Tarantino.
Sorry, what did you say, Frank?
I said mid-range at best.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I do like the scene in Leo's house when he busts his hand up and that's a good scene.
Did you know?
Oh, it's really
that he had a condom full of blood in his hand and it's all fake.
That Vigo, the Vigo broke his toe when he kicked that helmet.
Reason.
Let me finish.
You can see Aragorn in the background of that scene. The reason I said condom full of blood is that's how they got so much of the blood effects in Kill Bill during the fight with the Crazy 88s.
That's how you were conned.
Stop Domed? It. Don't. Come on.
They had...
Conned.
They had...
Con Air.
Let me finish.
They had Tarantino said to the people, the production designers and everyone he was working with on Kill Bill, he was like, I want you guys to pretend that we're making this movie in our backyard and we don't have special effects. How would you do this? And they came up with fill condoms full of fake blood and put them on the actors and when they pop, they'll spurt. And it looks good. I think it looks really good. I think the jets of blood are great. In those scenes, Frank's not
when she cuts off Sophie's arm,
the jet,
and that's just the that's silent great. Screaming. She hits the ground. She's rolling around. It's just a hose of blood.
Yes, and when she
so good.
Tells them all they can leave, but leave their arms.
Yeah,
but she goes, "Not you, Sophie. You stay right there." And Sophie's like, "Guess I better get back on the ground." Like, why would she leave? Yeah. Why would she just be like? You're not going to know.
Yeah.
I can still go.
she had like 20 opportunities to walk out.
No.
Go home to your mother.
Go home to your mother. So good.
That's a funny line.
Film history, little tidbit. There's a Kurosawa movie from the 60s called Yurunjo, I think. Or I might be getting that wrong, but it is a Kurosawa film from the 60s. And it's the origin of that blood spurting effect that they have in samurai movies where... They had the hose and the sort of blood hooked up to one of the actors. It was meant to come out at a slow spurt and it was built up and one of the coupling effects malfunctioned. And so in the scene, the two samurai go and attack each other. One of them gets sliced and just a jet of blood. Total accident. And Kurosawa, who directed the movie, is like, I fucking love that. Let's keep that in. And that's basically how that blood effect still...
I think you've said that on the pod before.
Have I? I may have. I apologize yourself. If I've already said that before.
I remember you've said Kurosawa.
It sounds like a
before.
Dave Zha Yu. I had something there.
Bloody what? Dave Zha. Dave, coming through with his voodoo.
Dave Zha Yu. Deja. It's been a long night.
It has. But
we've been here for 50 minutes.
All right. We are obviously rounding the corner on this movie. I guess I will
I
say,
have been around the block for hours.
Shall we?
Since I saw this.
Shall movie. We yep. see if yep. there's anything left below in this little alcove we call
The Butler in a pantry with a mic.
Blop.
The Butler's pantry.
Is that what you're looking for?
I was, and I'm very happy you did that, Frank, because this is a really good movie.
Thomas, I just pressed the button. Go.
Originally, Michelle Yeoh was offered the role for Lucy Liu instead. So that's really interesting. Yeah. Michelle Yeoh was offered a role in this, and I believe like Lucy
Liu. No, but Tarantino saw Lucy Liu in something and then changed the role to be a Chinese American.
Chinese Japanese American brat. We really haven't talked about that scene, but we'll get into that.
We haven't.
I think we're out of time. I'd love
Marcus has things to say, Frank.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, when?
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was 2001. And actually, thank you for bringing that up, because Wu Yuanping, I believe, was the choreographer on that, and that's who they got for Kill Bill as well. So he's basically using this very, very well sort of seasoned choreographer for these fighting sequences.
I can tell.
Yes, it looks great. He also didn't direct.
I did that to bait Frank. Go on.
When he was directing, when I was watching this the other day, and I was watching this with a friend of mine, and the anime sequence came up, and we both were just like, fuck. He's just...
Thomas.
Sorry, mate.
Please.
He's like, man, this cunt is really...
Keep going.
Is really showing off, because the way he's directing this, that he can direct anime as well as he can direct live action. And I was like, yeah, that's crazy that Tarantino... And no, Tarantino didn't direct the anime sequence. He actually did house that out to someone else. I cannot tell you the name of the director, but he was someone who's worked with the production company who did Ghost in the Machine. Ghost in the Shell. So those sequences were directed by someone else. Originally, the character of Bill was offered to Warren Beatty instead of Carradine. So there's that as well. But Warren Beatty didn't want to go to China. Apparently that's where they filmed a majority of the stuff that is meant to take place in Japan.
Mm.
They actually filmed the
Makes sense.
Yes, as you...
as you do.
Tarantino wouldn't know the difference, I'm sure.
Fuck.
Apparently the sequences that are to do with the Crazy 88 in Oren's, or the sort of like little restaurant, were filmed originally in a studio that was used by Mao Zedong for making propaganda. So they already had all these interesting film sets and stuff that they used to use for like the Communist Party. And so Tarantino was like, let's use this because they've got all this stuff here already. And that's most of what I've got, I think. I don't think I've got too much else. David Carradine is... this is my favorite one. David Carradine, who plays Bill, is part of the Carradine family. John Carradine's his father, and Carradines are a big Hollywood family. Mm-hmm. So we've got Keith Carradine, who you haven't seen Deadwood yet, have you?
No.
He's... excellent. He's Wild Bill Hickok in Deadwood, but he's also in Dexter season 3 or 4. He's like in Power of the Dog. He's in a bunch of stuff. But Robert Carradine is Lizzie McGuire's dad. Thank you, Frank.
In Lizzie McGuire?
In Lizzie McGuire.
The curly-haired dude?
The dark-haired guy with the glasses. Yeah. That's David Carradine's half-brother.
You know, I think I'm envisioning the wrong person, but I think, like, I know. I know who this is. My brain's tricking me.
Here's another opportunity for you to see that guy, because weirdly, he is a cameo extra in Django. In the scene where Christoph Waltz and Jamie Foxx ride into the town, the first town they go into, and Jamie Foxx is on the horse, which confuses everyone.
Yep.
There's all these different shots of people looking down on Django, and Robert Carradine's one of them. It's just like, it's Lizzie McGuire's dad. He's there. And also, like, Amber, what's her name? She's married to Amma Tamblyn, I want to say, who's married to David Cross. Frank, did you have anything that you wanted to add about this?
Tom, I'm going to ask you to stop.
Who cares? Sorry, Tom. You're talking about Bill in Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Stepbrother is cameo.
Half brother.
Yeah, sorry. So David Carradine's
auntie. This was the dumbest story you've ever done. You've just wasted 5 minutes of everybody's life.
So you didn't like this movie as well?
I didn't like you tonight. this has been insufferable. You're worse than Tarantino. So Jesus. Is anybody going to throw in anything?
No, I said 10.5, I'll stick, but I feel weird about it, but I...
Yeah, go lower. It's a bad film.
I just have such a good time with this film, unapologetically.
Decompress.
Every time.
Oh, we didn't talk about the scene with Oren cutting off the guy's head, so we should get into that right now.
I know you're
What's
doing
that rattlesnake I can hear?
Oh, Francis.
Anything else to add?
10.6. Excellent movie.
10.5.
2.5. Even maybe less after this ramble. Oh. Horrible time, horrible movie.
Amazing.
I don't even know why we're friends.
I've had a lovely time.
This has been good. I'm sweating. Threw in the past.
Thanks for listening to Throwing the Power. My name is Frank.
My name is Marcus.
My name's Tom.
That was the worst hour of my life, but I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Tune in for the next one next week.
I don't think
his pain is our pleasure.
Yes.
Kill Bill, more like kill Frank.
Bye. Threw in the power.